Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought 2 friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The Olympic Show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland.
You are very welcome along to the Olympic Show here on OTB Sports, where we are celebrating gold for Ireland at the Olympic Games. You can count on one hand Ireland's post-war gold medalist. You got Ronnie Delaney, Michael Carruth, Katie Taylor, and now Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan have joined that most illustrious of lists. We're going to be celebrating over the next little while. Do get in touch on social media if you were up late into the night watching, if you recorded and got up at 6 o'clock, and maybe, I don't know, how early is it to start the celebrations? Should we be cracking open the champagne? I suspect in Skibbereen it has been cracked open long before now. Lots more to get through as well. We'll be going to Tokyo in a few minutes. We'll also be checking in with the former Republic of Ireland international, Mark Kinsella. His daughter won a medal for Team GB in gymnastics, and Brendan O'Brien as well, to run through everything that's happened in a glorious 24 hours for Ireland at the Olympic Games. This is the Olympic Show. You'll get us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and on the OTB Sports app. It's all with thanks to Indeed, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents. You can use the hashtag #TalentUnleash. But we want to talk gold. Paul O'Donovan, Fintan McCarthy, the early hours of the morning in Tokyo. Here's how it happened.
World champions in 2019 in a quarter. Green light, off they go. Expect the Germans to start swiftly, and indeed they've done just that in lane 4. They were fastest out of the blocks in their semi-final.
They're home and hosed. They're ahead by a length. It's Ireland from Germany, and history is made on the water in Tokyo as Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan win gold. Gold for Ireland. Gold for Ireland. Silver for Germany. And the Italians come home in third place. And that is one more chapter of magnificence from the men from County Cork. Brilliant. Sheer brilliant. There's never been an Irish rowing gold before. Gary and Paul O'Donovan won Ireland's first Olympic rowing medal, the silver in Rio. And now Paul, with Fintan McCarthy, has won Ireland's very first gold medal.
RTE's George Hamilton with the commentary. The first time George Hamilton has commentated on an Irish gold medal at his 11th Olympic Games, which shows just how rare an achievement it is for Fintan McCarthy and for Paul O'Donovan. And to really start the celebrations here on the Olympic Show, I'm delighted to be joined by two people very close to 2 gold medalists. Trish O'Donovan, Paul's mother, is with us. How are you keeping, Trish? Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And also Jake McCarthy, Fintan's brother, is with us as well. Congratulations, Jake.
Thanks a lot. How are you doing?
Trish, I went through the list of Irish gold medalists. It is such a rare achievement for Ireland to get gold at the Olympic Games and to deliver at the world stage. Can you sum up your emotions when they finally went over the finish line?
Oh, just that they got over the finish line was superb, and more so, I think, when the poor Norwegians capsized the day before at the semi-final. Your heart is in your mouth until they cross the line, because it can happen so easily, and it's never a given that when they start that they'll finish. So it was superb.
Have you had a chance to talk to Paul yet?
No, I know, it's the middle of the night, then, for them guys.
Was he not straight on the phone afterwards?
No, like, their phones were probably not even with them. They were probably back at the course or back at the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're doing their own thing. I don't know whether, I know when we were in Rio, Paul got taken away for drug testing and we didn't see him for hours on end because he was, obviously, buddy was so dehydrated. It took him a while to give them the sample. So we didn't see Paul either.
Right.
So, you know, anything like that could happen. So you just leave them alone. And, I mean, you don't have to talk to them immediately, straight up. Like, you know what I mean? That'll wait. They were exhausted anyway.
Yeah, I've no doubt they were. Where did you watch it last night, Trish?
Oh, here in the house, in the kitchen, yeah.
Right. Was there many there, or did you just want to have the close family?
No, there wasn't. You kind of can't really have any people much, you know. So there was just six of us here.
Right.
And we did stand for the national anthem, and we did sing it like we would if we had been in Tokyo. So certainly you could say we're certifiably insane.
Yeah, it's such a special moment. And even watching it myself, like when the Irish national anthem starts playing for a gold medalist, it's an incredibly emotional thing.
It sure is, yeah. And so to sort of take from that, you stand up and you sing it then, and then it sort of passes from you, you know.
Yeah.
It's superb. It's what they deserve. So it was great. Great achievement. And the whole parish is ecstatic. All morning long, the cars are hooting there as they're passing the road, you know. So
brilliant.
Everyone is chuffed and delighted. And rightly so. I mean, it's not every day you get an Olympic gold medal coming to the town, you know.
No, it's certainly not. But the way things are going in Skibbereen, it'll feel like every day soon, the success that seems to be coming through. Jake, congratulations to you as well. You've been there. You've been in the boat with Fintan. You know the effort that he has put in to get to this level. You must be just incredibly proud.
Yeah. We're all delighted here, you know. I was saying as well that, you know, I'd see behind the scenes firsthand, you know, because I'd be training with them day in, day out, you know, and it's just, yeah, it's inspiring really to see how they go about their business and conduct themselves as well. You know, like we can have the crack, but at the same time, you know, get the job done every day, you know, and that's clearly what helped them to win the gold. So, yeah, we're ecstatic here.
Where were you watching last night?
I was just at the house with the family. Yeah, we can't really risk anything now with the virus and stuff. So I guess, yeah, we kind of just made what we could of it.
Was there any doubt at any stage? Trish was talking about obviously the Norwegians capsizing. Like, things can go wrong, and you know, I think everyone expected that they would come towards the end and dominate, but the Germans they didn't go away in that last 500 meters.
I was saying I messaged one of the German strokemen there this morning, just because, you know, I've raced him before, and to say, you know, congratulations. I told him he was rolling a bit better as well, you know, because they took it to them for a lot longer than they usually would have, you know, and, you know, like, fair dues to them in that regard. But yeah, luckily the lads came through in the last 500, but it was definitely a closer call for sure. So I guess that just made it all the more exciting.
Yeah. Are you a yard away from the TV in those final stages roaring?
Yeah. I was saying we're kind of going through stages during it, being like, okay, no, it's all good, and then we'd be in hysterics the next minute, and then we'd be, you know, there's a lot of different things happening during those 6 minutes, but we got there in the end.
Yeah. Paul's an awful fella, hasn't been in touch with his mammy. Have you been talking to Fintan?
We spoke to him briefly, all right, yeah. He was actually getting drug tested, like Trish was saying, that Paul did the last time. So, yeah, luckily he had his phone with him, and we got a quick call to him there, and he showed us the medal and stuff, so that was good. That was nice, all right, just to see him before I guess they begin their celebrations, you know.
Yeah. Have you gone down to town? Have you been around Skibbereen today to see what it means to everybody?
No, not yet. We've just been at the house. We've kind of been bombarded with media stuff as well today, so we haven't really even had the chance to leave. So, yeah, but hopefully at some point now we'll get out and see. We've got so many messages, you know, as well, which is, it's just great to see how it brings everyone together, you know. So,
yeah,
it's really, like, it's a brilliant, brilliant thing.
Trish, you've had some experience of this before with the success that Paul and Gary had over in Rio, and you got thankfully to enjoy that success in Rio. Like the achievement for a town like Skibbereen to produce Olympic silver medalists in 2016, Olympic gold medalists and bronze medalists in 2021, for one small part of Ireland to go and dominate the world like that is, geez, it's hard to put into words.
I suspect that, and I know it to be the case, that when Paul and Gary did so well in Rio and actually brought home any Olympic medal, it wouldn't have mattered what it was. It made everybody, and Jake will be the first one to say, yes, we can do it. Why can't we? We're doing the same training program. And they all woke up and they all said, bloody hell, we can have a shot at this. Yeah. And now we have six boats going to the Olympics this time. 2012, Ireland qualified one rowing boat to go to the Olympics. 2014, there was three boats. 2016, here we are now, 2021 now, six boats went. That was never before in the history of Irish rowing ever happened before. The whole country stood up and said, goodness, if we get out there, if we train to the best we can, it is within our reach. And that's what's after happening. And so it's fantastic for the sport, for the clubs, for, you know, any of the coaches. They're all delighted. They're all thinking, gosh, yeah, it is doable. It is doable. It's not a sport that eludes us, because up until 2016, they were coming in fourth. They were coming in fourth. There were knocking on the door. And you kind of think, we're never going to be able to be up to the world standard that is expected. You know, we're trying, and we're not getting there. And they did get there, and look at what's after happening. Rowing has exploded.
I think Trish Jake summed it up there that, you know, the lads, all of them have just brilliant personalities, and from afar you could look and go, you know, they're very relaxed and chilled out, but like, this is incredibly tough work that they have to put in. You have to be so dedicated to get to the level that they've got to. When you look back at them growing up, was that dedication to sport, to whether it was education, whatever they did Paul and Gary always throw themselves fully into everything?
100%, yes, they did. They'd go to training in the morning before they'd go to school. They'd go to school, secondary school, obviously not in primary. Well, they did a little bit, because obviously when they're young, they'd only go in maybe one day in the week, during the week, and then at the weekends. But then it progressed to training every day, twice on Saturday, Sunday training. And then it became morning and afternoon, or morning and evening, every day of the week, except on a Sunday. So you just learned to work around it. That's what they did. You accepted it. You didn't say, oh, look, I need you to be here because this is happening. You just say, they're not going to be here because they're training. And that's what has to happen. You have to accept that that's what they do if they're going to really put their heart and soul into this. And when they first put on the green singlet in 2008 in Cardiff and rode, they were only 14 and 15, and they were racing 18-year-olds, and they won.
Yeah.
And you have to stand back, and as I did, I stood back and I went, this is just the beginning here, Trish. This is the beginning. They are going to go all the ways to the top. You know, so Paul and Fintan have done that during the morning. Nighttime for us. During the morning, they did that. They went and they got the best, the paint, you know, that's it. The Olympic gold is there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's funny, I was talking to Paul and Gary, maybe it was around this time last year during the first lockdown, and I'd never met two men more comfortable with a lockdown who were so focused, who suddenly actually didn't need to interact with the outside world at all.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
They did their training. They were both studying hard, and like, you know, they're both go on and have really successful careers out of the water as well. But they were actually very happy just being in their own bubble. It suited them down to the ground.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it really, like, the lockdown didn't really affect them at all, you know, to a certain degree, because they just got on with their training.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was it, you know, so fair play to them. It's what they deserve, and I'm really, really pleased that this is what, and they're showing the whole country and all the young athletes coming up, it is doable. We can do it. You know, 2024 is only 3 years away. So, you know, it'll make anyone, I'd say if you went in out to Skibbereen Rowing Club, they're probably all jumping into boats.
well, that level of inspiration and legacy, Jake, like, you're a prime example of that. I think you've said before yourself and Fintan that, you know, saw rowing at the 2012 Olympics, thought, yeah, we want to do that. The opportunity is there in Skibbereen, but also the inspiration of what Paul and Gary achieved in 2016 and being able to train alongside them every day and think, you know what, you don't need to be superhuman for this. You just need to work bloody hard.
Yeah, for sure. Like Trish said, you know, like when you see, like when we saw the lads, obviously in Rio, getting that silver medal, like dead right. It's just like, well, why can't, you know, we do it? Why can't anyone really, you know? It's just about, yeah, I guess just about that dedication and getting the best you can be and stuff. And hopefully now more people are gonna pick up the sport and we'll have more success in the years to come.
Yeah. Trish, how's Gary been through all of this? I think Paul said he had gone to Tokyo as the reserve, but because he wasn't involved and because of COVID and all that, he had to actually fly home straight away, so unfortunately couldn't get to watch.
That's right, yeah. So that's very hard too.
Yeah.
You know, so we just have to keep an eye, hope that he'll be, you know, that it won't affect him in any serious way, because it must be upsetting.
Mm.
It must be. But I know they know that sport, they know what happens, and that it's not as if it came out of the blue or anything. That's the way it is. But still, you know, the reality, it must be hard as well for Gary, so... Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, it must be somewhat tough for you as well as a mother, because, you know, Paul has gone on and he's got his gold medal. But, you know, you've seen the effort that Gary has put in as well. I'm sure Gary has left nothing out there over the last few years in his desperation to get in the boat.
You see, and Jake will be able to confirm this. Gary suffered an injury with his arm, and I'm not taking away from Fintan in any shape or otherwise, but anything can happen to set you back. So if you break a bone, Jake suffered an injury there, and that's kind of slowed him back. It'll take a while to build up the stamina again, and you know, that's the nature. That's sport. That's what happens. And you know, that's the way it is. So it was good. It was good. At least, you know, there was one of them in the boat, so that was good too.
That is for sure. Yeah, Jake. There's no getting away. It is a strange dynamic. In one way, listen, an incredibly successful one, that you had been in the boat with Fintan, and Gary and Paul have been in the boat together, and then Fintan and Paul end up as the ones going to the Olympics. Like, are you looking at what they've achieved as a real inspiration?
Yeah, without a doubt. Just even watching it last night, just the emotion, you know, and the impact it's had on everyone. It's just like really kind of motivates you to keep at it and hopefully get there one day, you know, like hopefully now we'll get over this injury and be able to compete again, and we'll all keep at the training together, you know, and go at it again for the next few years.
Yeah. Fintan was saying in his post-race interviews that he was pretty chilled out ahead of the race, that he was expecting to be a bit more nervous. And what I've been reading, you're very different characters, that actually you would have expected him to be a bit more nervous. He's very organised, likes everything to run to perfection. You're the one who's usually a bit more chilled out.
I think having Paul with him as well, you know, it's been a good thing, because he's very experienced, you know, and he's quite a cool customer himself. So I think he can kind of look to him a bit on that front and kind of, I guess, you know, vibe off him in that sense. Just, you know, this is what we've got to do, and might as well be calm about it. Like, we can only go out and do, you know, the best we can, and we've done it so many times before. It's just another race, you know. And but yeah, he'll get organised there in other stuff, but it was good that he was able to keep cool in that situation, definitely.
Yeah. Trish, obviously after 2016, Paul and Gary became pretty much worldwide superstars. They were, you know, they end up on the Graham Norton show. Everybody was so taken in by their personality and how relaxed they are after the race. Paul getting that balance of being the serious rower and professional, and off the water being what seems like just an incredibly funny, relaxed character. Is that the way he's always been?
Oh, what you see is what you get with Paul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With the two of them, yeah. What you see is what you get, yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
They're good lads.
They're better than good, I think it's fair to say, Trish. Have you any idea when you're going to get to see them?
No. I was speaking with Michelle Carpenter there, and she said she'd send me on the details of when they're due to arrive in, so that we'll know. But she didn't have details either this morning, so she'll send that on there when she'll get into the office.
Yeah, you'll be offering to keep the gold medal safe from.
Come here. I'd be the last one they trust. I'd probably lose it.
Well, listen, Trish, enjoy the next few days.
Thank you.
Enjoy getting to see Paul. It's such a shame with COVID. We probably won't have a repeat of what we saw in Skibbereen back in 2016.
Not for
the next little while, but maybe over ahead of Christmas, there can be a proper old Skibbereen celebration. But congratulations.
Thank you.
Mother of an Olympic champion. There's not many that can say that.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well done, Trish. Enjoy it. And Jake, thank you as well. What's the plan for getting back in the boat? Yeah, I think, unfortunately, Jake McCarthy has just, the line is gone. Listen, they're down in Skibbereen. Maybe the reception just isn't too good. Or half of Ireland wants to get in touch with him right now because his brother is the Olympic champion and Jake, a world-class rower, very much in his own right. And I'm sure 3 years from now in Paris, we'll certainly have ambitions of getting in one of those boats as well. But it is a day of real celebration on the Olympic show. Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy are the Olympic champions. There's not often we can say that in Irish sport. You are watching the Olympic show. We're live every single day here on Off the Ball, usually at 5 o'clock, but we started earlier today because we got gold and we wanted to get to it as quickly as we could. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and on the OTB Sports app. It is all with thanks to Indeed, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their talent. You can use the hashtag #TalentUnleashed. Now, let's go to Tokyo because a man who was waterside for the race and I think is nursing a little bit of sunburn back in the hotel is Brendan O'Brien from The Examiner. How you keeping, Brendan?
All good, Nathan. Yourself?
There can be long days in sports journalism and there can be some days where it's very much worthwhile. I'd say this is one of the days that long trip, all the regulations around COVID, you couldn't care less about any of them.
Absolutely, yeah. The biggest problem today was actually getting to the venue, which I'd been to all week, but taxi drivers, as is tradition with major sporting events, they don't seem to know which way to go once you set up a couple of roadblocks for a sports tournament. But that aside, brilliant, brilliant occasion. Kind of a strange feeling going down there this morning because, you know, we've all witnessed a lot of great sporting Irish events, but it's very few where you actually turn up at the venue and you're thinking, this is a gold medal that we're looking at here. And I know I saw somebody on Twitter talking about, can we please stop talking about Olympians settling for a silver or a bronze? But let's be honest about it. If the boys had have claimed a silver or a bronze today, there wouldn't be this outpouring of joy. I mean, these guys were the hottest of favourites, the hottest of hot, hot favourites. And what really impressed me and what I loved about them was that it sat so easily on their shoulders. All week, you know, on the boat, they were so serene, a world's best time in the semi-finals, and off the boat as well. I mean, we all talk about it, we all see it. The lads just kind of leaning up against the crash barriers like they're chatting over a fence on a Sunday. So, you know, a very special occasion. And yet, the impression I got was that it was a very business-like one. They mean that in the best possible way, that those guys were going there expecting to win. And you take out the fact then that there was no real crowd at it as well. It had that more kind of, let's do the numbers here. Let's do what we're here to do. Let's do what we should do here. And that's the way it turned out. And again, look, that's not to take away from the absolute joy in seeing an Irish boat going across the line first.
Mm. That's something that's very striking, is almost a lack of emotion from the two of them. I don't know if maybe it was just in the television interviews, but that they're all business. They went there as the best in the world and they finished it as the best in the world. They did their job and now they just want to get home and celebrate.
Yeah, and you know, when you're at the venue and you know yourself, you try and whoever scores the winning point or makes the winning save in the shootout, that's the guy or the woman to look at when the final whistle goes. And, you know, I kept my eye on the two lads as they went across the finishing line. And it took a while for any sort of, you know, visible representation of joy to come about. It was probably caught on the TV, actually. And after a while, Fintan raised the fist to the air. And Paul kind of, you know, half turned behind him and gave him a little pat on the flanks, like a paternal pat on the flanks, as if to say, well done, son, your first Olympics. You haven't done too bad. But yeah, like the way the rowing is done this week as well with interviews, it could be a good hour and a half by the time to get through. And Fintan was called in for the anti-doping afterwards as well. So it's not like we're getting them at the final whistle and the adrenaline is pumping through them. By the time to get even to us and the print side things, they've done like six or seven interviews. But you can see in their demeanour, the first one they're doing, that it's all very, you know, well, yeah, we came here to do a job and we did it. And Paul Donovan, even, I think, I'm not sure, was it after the heat or the semi-final? He was very much upfront about this. Like, you know, yeah, winning medals is great. And he's spoken about this before as well. Winning medals is great, but like you move on, and the Olympics is great, but you move on. You know, and I've no doubt win, lose or whatever, had they been tipped over in the waters like the Norwegian crew was during the week, that they would have got back up and they would have prioritised the next major championship and Paris in 2024. It's just what they do. And I described it today in the online piece I did as a very un-Irish success story, that it's a lack of kind of, you know, this bolt from the blue or you know, a kind of an underdog story. Ireland beat the Germans by being the Germans. Do you know what I mean? Mm. We were the machine. Mm. We were the guys who would not be beaten. The Germans were the Irish in the way that they absolutely flew out of the blocks. I mean, many times we said about an Irish rugby team, you know, 20, 30 minutes of pure fury, and then the wind would come out of them. Now, fair play to the Germans. They stuck there till the end. But it was the Irish crew who got a decent start themselves, and they stuck to their metronomic pace. They stuck to their plan. They were like, you guys can go as hot as you want. We're sticking to what we do. They stuck to the plan and pulled through it. It was very un-Irish in that sense for me.
And going in as raging hot favourites, Cathal Dennehy was on ahead of the start of the Olympics and, you know, making that point that we've never had an Olympic hope like this. Even when we think back to Katie Taylor and all the expectations, there was a little bit of heading into the unknown because it was the first time women's boxing had been at the Olympics. Whereas Paul O'Donovan, in particular, like we are probably talking about one of, if not our greatest sports star with, what, four world championships, a silver medal and a gold medal, our greatest ever Olympian. To have that weight of expectation and to just seem to be able to brush it aside and take no notice, again, it's just so, it goes against everything we've ever been brought up with, what Irish sport is.
Absolutely. And listening to his mum talking there and saying, what you see is what you get with Paul. And I've actually had texts and WhatsApps from home, from friends and people saying, is this really this guy off the camera? I mean, are we seeing the real guy? Is this, nobody could be that impossibly cool before or after a game or after an Olympic event and do it. And look, everything I've ever seen, all I'd say is if that's a mask, they're the greatest actors ever, because time and time again, they go up in front of a camera, they waltz from camera to camera, they waltz around the place. They literally look like two guys out for a Sunday stroll. There's no bother on them. And that's obviously helped them, Nathan. I mean, I heard one of the guys earlier talking about saying that maybe Paul's influence has rubbed off in Fintan in that way, that there is this, it's not an air of supreme confidence. It's not an air of supreme cockiness. It's just trust in the process, trust in the work you've done. They know the program is excellent. They know they have a bit of talent, not that they'd ever say that. And that's enough for them. They, you know, they don't have to do anything else. They don't have to put on a show. And in fact, the greatest cloak that they have, the greatest aura they have, is the lack of aura. It's the ordinariness of these guys as they go up on the blocks at the start of a race. There's a very interesting quote in the main press conference afterwards in the media center, or maybe it was Cathal Dennehy, he actually got one of the Czech guys, and the Czech guys finished a whisker off a bronze medal and yet 10 seconds off the Irish crew. And the Czech rower described Paul O'Donovan as a monster. And that's exactly it. He's a once in a generation, once in a multi-generation talent. And, you know, this is premature. I mean, he hasn't won as many as this man, but he's our Steve Redgrave. And you could look nearly at McCarthy as the Matthew Pinsent, as a guy who would be the main man, worry not, with the other main man, who was the main man of all main men. It's an incredible crew, and there's so much has come right for them. But I do think that attitude that they bring to it, that comfort in what they do. And the crazy thing about it, Nathan, is you look at 40 minutes after their race, Sunita Pushpura wasn't as hot a favourite, but everybody expected her to win gold. Mm. And you look at her crouched over in utter despair in her boat, having finished fifth in a semi-final, having looked so serene all week as well. I mean, herself and the two boys were on parallel paths. They looked unbeatable. And yet one gets to the final and crushes it, and the other gets to a semi-final and it all falls apart. And it just shows, we've seen that with so many Olympians, not just Irish, but in an Irish context with Philip Doyle and Ronan Byrne, Jack Woolley, I'm leaving somebody else out, the Rugby Sevens guys who have talked about being embarrassed at their performances. I thought that was a bit heavy on themselves. But it just goes to show you that on the big stage, it doesn't always come through. But the great magic of these two lads is that it always does. And I don't know how to do that.
Mm. It's just all in the work, I think, is what they always seem to say. And like, you think of the Kilkenny hurlers and their greatness, and Brian Cody being asked, what's the secret? And like, there is no secret. They're just out there and they're working harder probably than anybody else. You mentioned Sunita Prespoor. We'll get on to the disappointment of now, but Paula Donovan's mother, Trish, touched on it there. You think of where Irish rowing has come from, and 2012 in London, and Sunita Prespoor is the only Irish rower who qualifies for those games. To go from there to already having one bronze and a gold, to becoming one of the dominant nations in world rowing. Like, what's happened and what Dominic Casey and what Skibbereen has given to this country in sport, we probably still don't talk about it enough. Maybe we will now that we have the gold medal.
Yeah, and you know what? We will for a certain amount of time, and then the Olympics will finish and these lads will sink back into a little bit of obscurity. They'll just go away and, you know, do their own thing, like maybe win a couple of world championships and Europeans, and we'll kind of give them a mention in our papers and on radios, and, you know, we'll be more exposed to the Premier League and the GA and the Six Nations. And look, they know that's the way it is. But it is an incredible journey, and it's one that's continuing. And talking to a lot of the crews before the games, one thing that was always mentioned was the under-23s that are in training with them and how those crews are pushing them along as well. You look at the B final today for Casey and Cremin, two 22-year-olds who have finished eighth in their event. Eighth was always like the top level in rowing. If you finish in the top eight, that's the elite of the elite. They're 3 years away from Paris, Nathan, you know? That's another crew that's coming online. You talked about Jake there and Gary O'Donovan. There's more reserves besides out here as well this week. There is incredible depth in it. And you have Dominic Casey over the lightweight side, you have the Italian coaches over the other side. You have a lot of good stuff going on. And it's interesting as well that Jake would have, Fintan would have spoken about watching the lads in Rio in 2016 and how that spurred him on. Imagine what the younger crews are thinking now as they watched everything they saw this week. You know, that's a lot of motivation to pull in for a group of people who can already see that the system is 5 years on from where it is. So the crazy thing about it is as well, we mentioned Sunita and we mentioned the two lads in the double skulls, you know, it could have been actually even better. And that's not to water down anything that's been done, but, you know, this could have been even better. I mean, this isn't overachieving. This is kind of maybe par for the course as to what we expected.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it's tough listening to Trish talking about Gary and, you know, Gary having to fly back from Japan because he was there as the reserve, and, you know, having to keep a bit of an eye on him because as happy as he will be for his brother, the disappointment of not being in the boat alongside him and what motivation that will be for him for 3 years' time in Paris.
Absolutely, and again, you mentioned the rest of the reserves, Aileen Crowley and Monica Dukarska, who were in the pairs this week. They had turns in the women's four boat as well. You know, a few of us were talking to the coaches there, and the process of whittling down the best four for the women's four, which happens in the men's as well. So you look at it, I think it was 2019. I think it was Aileen Crowley was in that boat.
Yeah, you just broke up there for a second, Brendan. There's clearly incredible depth. You touched on Sunita Prespoor because while she wasn't the raging hot favourites that the lads were, there was definitely an expectation that she would medal and could well be a gold medal, and has ended up not making the final. I don't know if you got a chance to talk to her afterwards or what the general vibe or what went wrong.
No, we actually didn't get to talk to her. We expected to have a word with her afterwards, and we asked the media crew, could we? And what we were told was that she was just too devastated to speak, that she wouldn't be speaking. Very understandable. I mean, I can't imagine the depth of the emotions that she was going through. I mean, the last time we spoke to her was earlier in the week after she qualified for the semi-final. And if you remember in 2012 and 2016, she actually went out in the quarter-final stage. So she actually mentioned, I think it was to RTE, about breaking that curse, about getting through to the semi-final level. And yet here we go again. Look, we don't know until we actually hear from her or some of her coaches. Fifth in a semi-final is so far below where we thought she would be. She's in her late 30s now. I think she given consideration to quitting before 2021 when the Olympics were put back a year. So, you know, she still has a B final tomorrow. Have we seen the last of Sunita? If that's the case, I mean, she's given absolutely everything to Irish rowing. She was obviously the only boat that we had in Dorney Lake in London in 2012. And even speaking to some of the female rowers this week, they've spoken about how they looked up to seeing Sunita in London 9 years ago. So, look, again, like we're talking about, and again, it puts into perspective what the two lads have done with the gold. You can prepare all you like, you can do everything right, and at the end of the day, it just doesn't click for you when you need it most.
I know you were, and the way Olympics work, you're focusing on the rowing. It's very hard to keep up with everything that's going on. I don't know if you saw much else of what was happening. Obviously, for the sailors, it seemed there were a real mixed day. Robert Dixon and Sean Waddlelove were disqualified. There was an issue with their boat, so they went from 7th to 13th. But Annalise Murphy, who obviously has given us so much over the last couple of games, she had a really slow start and was really down on herself after the first few days, but first and second in her race today, and has maybe given herself an outside chance, certainly of making the final, and maybe, depending on how things go, putting herself back in the reckoning for a medal.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, when you think it's her third Olympics, that it shows you how the big occasion can, I won't say get to people, but how it can have an effect. I think it was 35th in her first race, and she spoke afterwards about, you know, maybe trying too hard or maybe taking a bit easier, a different tack or a different approach. That's a, you know, somebody who nearly had a medal in London and did medal in Rio. Highly experienced sailor in all forms of sailing. So look, incredible resolve to come back and put herself into this position to do what she's done. And again, showing her experience. And with two lads in the 49ers, I mean, your heart would have to break for them. I was looking it up. They're 90 grams overweight. And I tried to get a comparison of what 90 grams would be. And 100 grams is basically the weight of two boiled eggs. So right. if you're going to lose your or put a huge dent in your boat and your Olympic ambitions for that kind of weight, it must be devastating, because they had such a great day today as well. Now, I don't know enough about the sailing. It goes on over a long time. It's hard to keep up with it when you're covering everything else in Tokyo. But they've gone to 13th or 14th. They've six races left. So sounds to me like it's still in their hands. But, I mean, my God, just to be able to kind of move on from that would be a big test for them. Mm. And hopefully they can do it, because you'd hate for them to miss out in the final for something as small as that.
There are still plenty of medal hopes. Potentially the golf. So the men's golf has started. Rory McIlroy, six shots off the lead. Shane Lowry is a further shot back. It is the Austrian Stepp Straka, who is about 160th in the world, who's leading, set the pace, a lightning quick start on 8 under par, but McIlroy and Lowry still right in it. But we've a gold medal and a bronze medal in the last 2 days. I look at the golf, the boxing, like, there's still plenty to look forward to, even ahead of the start of the athletics, Brendan, over the next week or so.
Absolutely, and you know, you can look at maybe the show jumping team. Carl Daniels is out in action tomorrow in the eventing. I'm sure I'm leaving one or two people out, but there is still hope. I mean, tomorrow we have a couple of boxing hopes, maybe get a couple of guaranteed medals. I think five or six medals would be a more than acceptable return for this team. Like I say, with the rowers, I mean, we have two very good crews now who were very highly tipped. And it just goes to show how difficult it is. The boxers, it'd be great to see them get a couple of medals after everything that happened to them in Rio. We spoke with the rowers taking over as the so-called medal factory for Irish Olympians. And just looking at the boxers tomorrow, actually, you know, it's interesting who they're fighting. Aidan Walsh is up against a Mauritius boxer. And I know, again, getting a few tidbits from home, people are saying, well, he should win this. And just to point out that Mauritius have won one medal in the Olympic Games. That was in boxing back in 2008. When a guy got bronze. So, you know, I wouldn't be counting any chickens yet. And that guy, Mervyn Clare, actually beat the fourth seed Jordanian in the previous bout. So as impressive as Aidan Walsh was in the first one, I'd be careful about, you know, kind of expecting that to happen. And then Kelly Harrington, when she fights for the first time, obviously got a bye in the first round. She's up against an Italian who's only boxing 5 years. She's a 21-year-old, doesn't have a huge CV to speak of in major championships, but she's come out and said that her ambition is to win a medal in the Tokyo Olympics. So on paper, you'd be saying they're two bouts that they should be winning. So we'll see how that goes.
On tomorrow's show, we're going to talk to three Olympians. Nat Nguyen and boxers Emmett Brennan and Michaela Walsh are going to talk to us, and we'll obviously follow on everything that happens overnight. So much of the talk ahead of the games was obviously around the actual games going ahead, Brendan, and the apathy that was there in Japan for the games going ahead. You've been there for a week more at this stage. What's the general vibe around Tokyo?
Well, around our section of Tokyo, which is media centres and venues, it's all very, very good. We're obviously in what you would call a kind of an Olympic slash hotel bubble for the first 14 days while we're here, which means we can't go to a restaurant, we can't go to a bar. We're technically not meant to be going into shops or whatever. It's actually interesting how that's all worked, in that it's not quite as strict as that. There are stories of people jumping into cabs on the street, cabs being shared, that it's not the iron curtain that you would have thought it was. But that said, I do think there is quite a good honour system over here that I've seen with people I've spoken to, that, look, you know yourself, Nathan, you're so bloody busy at these events. You're back at 10 or 11 at night. You don't have time to be going to do too much karaoke. But it's hard to tell the vibe. I mean, even viewership figures in Japanese TV are very, very healthy. You know, there's talk of 100 million Japanese, I think, 4 days ago, had watched some part of the Olympics. But look, there's no doubt about it. It makes for a very strange experience. I mean, we started off talking about the rowing today, and just struck me, I'm sure you've all seen on the screens in the background of the rowing venue, you see the big Tokyo Gate Bridge and the traffic is going on. And it's just that backdrop of a city going about its business. And I feel terrible for the people here, because they're going to have to shoulder the bill for all of this, and they don't get any of the joy. And anybody who's been to a major sports event, you know, you can't put your finger on what it is, but there is that vibe, that excitement, and okay, you're going to be left with a blooming huge bill at the end of it, but you're going to have the best 2 weeks or month of your life. And it's just not there. And for those of us who are here in Tokyo and Japan for the World Cup in 2019, it's just a shadow of the city that it was. You can see that in the lack of traffic. You can see it when you do get your 15 minutes to go out to the local Family Mart or 7-Eleven to get your bit of gorgeous sushi for your evening meal. It's just not the same. It's not the same city. So, you know, how Japanese people really feel, it's impossible to say. It's impossible to say.
Yeah. Well, look, Brendan, it's not every day you see Irish athletes win gold at the Olympics. So today, one of the better days, I'm sure, at the job. Thanks a lot for joining us, as always.
Anytime, lads. Enjoy.
Brendan O'Brien there from the Irish Examiner, coming live from Tokyo. He had been waterside, 12 hours ago at this stage, when Ireland won gold at the Olympic Games through Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy. This has been the Olympic show. We are going to be back tomorrow. As I mentioned, we'll bring you through everything that's happened overnight in the boxing, the golf, and also Nat Nguyen, Emmett Brennan and Michaela Walsh, all of whom have already competed at this year's Olympics, are going to join us on the show as well. 5 o'clock every evening for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter and the OTB Sports app. It is all with thanks to Indeed, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents. You can use the hashtag Talent Unleash. What a day it has been. What an Olympic show it's been. Thanks for joining us. You can listen back to all those joyous family members. Ireland have got gold at the Olympic Games.
The Olympic show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.